You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. Full disclosure, sometimes on a Friday, when I'm teeing up our regular segment about the week that we do at the top of the show, like right here, sometimes, you know, sometimes when I review the economic week that was, I do it with, shall we say, great enthusiasm, really great enthusiasm. And don't get me wrong, I am enthusiastic. I love my job, but you gotta make people want to listen, right? You gotta sell it a little bit. Well, absolutely no need to amplify the economic enthusiasm this week. Believe you me, the Fed, gross domestic product, another inflation reading today. And those are just the headlines. So here we go. Ana Swanson is at the New York Times. Sudeep Reddy is at Politico. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai.
So Sudeep, I'm going to go straight to my list of questions here that I have scribbled, and I will read you literally what the first one says. Something about Fed, GDP, and inflation. So I'm going to throw it to you with, give me the grand unifying theory of this week in this economy.
Boy, the grand unified theory. Look, everything feels wobbly right now, right? Everything in the economy feels wobbly. We're all uncertain about inflation. We've had all this chatter about a recession when the real recession hasn't even come yet. People just feel unsettled despite having strong wage growth, despite having remarkably high job growth, remarkably low unemployment, but everybody just feels unsettled because the whole thing feels a little wobbly. And what we've seen for the first 6 or 7 months of the year has kind of just been the precursor to what the real effects become. We've had stock market being a little wobbly. We've had interest rates climbing, but we haven't really seen the housing market fully come apart as a result of raising interest rates this quickly. We haven't really seen the issues in emerging markets. We haven't really seen consumers get strapped. All of that is the natural consequence of what we've started with, but we're not there yet.
That is not inspiring that we haven't yet seen the effects of it. Ana, let me ask you this. If you had to pick one of the biggies of this week, right, the Fed and the interest rates and Powell's press conference, GDP, which came in at negative 0.9% for the second quarter, the first reading, or this morning's reading on inflation, the PCE. I forgot what PCE stands for. Anyway, you guys help me out. Somebody help me out.
Personal consumption.
Thank you. Personal consumption expenditure. Look, I'm just live radio. That's just what happened. Anyway, PCE this morning at 6.8% year on year. Pick one. Which one's your favorite? Which one's the most significant?
Oh, wow. So I was going to try to weave it together, too, if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
To give kind of my grand theory as well. And I hope you'll like this. My theory is that we're waiting to see if we're in a Wile E. Coyote moment when he's run off the
cliff. Is that when he's off the edge of the cliff just hanging? That's a good one. I like that.
Right. So if you look around, I think for a lot of people, the economy still feels pretty good. And you saw some of that in consumer spending today, which rebounded. Mm-hmm. You know, the labor market is slowing, but it still feels pretty strong. GDP fell, you know, mostly the drag in growth was really from company inventory. But, you know, the question is, have we already run off the cliff? But we're just not feeling it yet. Jay Powell says that we haven't, and he's a smart guy. So I don't really know, but the Fed has been hiking really aggressively. And when the economy falls into a recession, that can happen pretty quickly. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean there couldn't be a recession right around the corner.
Sudeep, what do you make of Powell having said on Wednesday in his press conference, what do you make of him having said, you know, the path to a soft landing now depends on things outside our control? That is not a heartening thing to hear the Fed chair say.
It is not heartening, but he's actually being honest. He's being real about this in this moment. He has essentially admitted that the path to getting inflation down without a recession is narrowing, like the soft landing approach is narrowing. He sees all of these forces building up. If you're Jay Powell, the last thing you want to see in this moment is bond yields completely dropping this quickly and undoing the hard work of tightening, stock markets surging again. This is not what you want to see. You have to tighten policy. You need more restrictive policy to be able to actually force some pain onto the economy so it's not devastating for everyone. And the pain just seems to be disappearing. And it's just not, that's not what you want to see. And if you're in Jay Powell's shoes, it's going to get harder to actually bring inflation down to a reasonable level. Yeah, we can drop it from 9 to 6, But 6% inflation is not anywhere close to the Fed's 2% goal, or 3% if you want to go to that stage. And he realizes, okay, this just isn't working in the low-paying way, and you're going to have to go to a higher-paying threshold to make it happen.
Anna, how much does it matter that Congress now has apparently decided with the Inflation Reduction Act that Joe Manchin has now agreed to, that Congress has said, okay, we're going to get in somewhat on the fight against inflation?
Well, I definitely think the Inflation Reduction Act is a bit of kind of creative rebranding, right?
So, yeah.
This was what was recently was, you know, mostly the Build Back Better Act. You know, the argument is that investments in manufacturing and clean energy will help lower inflation over the long term by increasing supply and lowering costs for things like goods, things like energy. And I think that argument has a lot of merit, but those effects take time to materialize. And in the short term, you've still got very hot inflation, and you've got these massive influxes of fiscal spending coming into the economy to build new roads, incentivize spending on solar panels and clean cars and things like that. The Inflation Reduction Act, I definitely think, it's a bit of kind of creative rebranding, yeah. Which is kind of par for the course in Washington.
Just because I know you follow this stuff, what do you make of the CHIPS Act and industrial policy now rearing its interesting head again, right, in Congress?
Yeah. So I was speaking with an economist recently who said it's the biggest industrial policy investment in Washington in 50 years. So it's definitely significant. Industrial policy has kind of been a dirty word in Washington for a long time, but there's this increasing consensus that the U.S. has ceded a lot of the market to countries with a more interventionist industrial policy like China, and that the U.S. has to take this more active role. So this CHIPS bill is $280 billion towards the chip industry, but also basic R&D and research hubs. And, you know, when you combine that with the infrastructure bill and this new reconciliation bill that we were just talking about with the climate change initiatives, this is starting to add up to a massive investment in the U.S. economy.
A little bit of everything today on The Wrap, including me forgetting part of my job, I guess. Anyway, Anna Swanton at The New York Times, Sudeep Reddy at Politico. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.